Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of We Like Your Sisterhood on the Eshcast.
On Tuesday, the J-pop and alternative hotspot hits your eardrums on No Borders, No Race.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, with the live issues program's post-episode recaps on live right after your favorite shows and taking all of your questions.
It's going down each week, only in the land of Ash. Nerdcore at its finest.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and On Mystery Inc. proudly present No Borders, No Race, the world.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race. I am your King Baby Doc, Evan Borgo, and hey folks, guess who's joining me after a long bit of an absence? It's 42 Believer!
Yay! I'm finally out of the basement and I can join you!
Yes, it's always great to have you on my show. And now, I felt kind of bad because Sarah was unable to join us for our best and worst anime podcast that we did with Wicked Anime and Nerd Craves. So I figured before we really jump into this show, I'd like her to share her thoughts on what was the most awesome anime and what was the not-so-awesome anime of 2015. So, Sarah, the floor is yours.
Okay, so a while back, I read a manga called Akigami no Shirakihime, the English title, Snow White with the Red Hair, and I really enjoyed it because it was shoujo-y and fun, and it was like medieval fantasy historical setting, and I was like, yes! And then Bones decided to answer my prayers and made it into an anime, and I was like, yes! Because I fucking love Akigami no Shirakihime, and anime was really, really good, and it was really pretty, and I was so happy that Bones was doing a shoujo, because they've been doing, like, so much mecha lately.
Yep.
And I was like, yes, shoujo, and it was as good as I wanted it to be, and I think probably Akigami no Shirakihime was my fave of last year, just because I was so excited. But special mention goes out to Arhaaro X Machine Gun, because that was really fun. The ending kind of sucked, but it was still really fun.
I was going to bring that up because I was like, they ended the show without any resolution to any of the problems.
I know. It was so frustrating. I'm like, can we at least get one of them? Like, one? No? Fuck you.
Can you at least just tell one of them that you're a girl? Come on.
That would be so good, but nah. Other than that, as far as, like, the worst, definitely has to go to Gender Romantica Season 3. Because I have been called the Yaoi Queen before. And yes, I am very much into Yaoi, but Gender Romantica is the worst Yaoi. I think it's not really the worst Yaoi, but because it's so ubiquitous and so well known amongst Yaoi fans as like the Yaoi, it makes me hate it so much more. And JoJo Romantica Season 3 was no exception. It sucked ass. It was Studio Deen, and Studio Deen does their Yaoi so ugly, because Yaoi art's ugly enough anyways. You really don't need Studio Deen to make it uglier, but they did it anyway. So definitely JoJo Romantica Season 3. Blech.
Who calls you the Yaoi Queen anyway?
My fans. especially like when I was, before Podtaku ended, very sad, we did a podcast and I ended up going on a Yaoi tangent and they let me for some reason. And I told people in the comment section that if they wanted any recommendations to just ask me. And I got a few people who asked me and I just like dumped a huge truck full of recommendations of really, really good Yaoi onto them. And they were like, oh my god, you're a Yowie queen. And I'm like, yes, I am. Yes, I am the Yowie queen. Not really. But yes, I do like Yowie.
Yeah. You can
come at me.
Yeah. You can keep that title. I'm more of a Yuri person, but yeah, you can keep. I'm zero interest in Yaoi whatsoever. Especially,
that's okay. I'm an equal opportunity shipper, so Yuri is fine with me too.
I know. Oh, good. And it's funny you mentioned you're kind of bashing on Studio Dean because after our first break, we're going to be talking about a new Studio Dean anime series.
Yeah, I know. It's Studio Dean has good days, and Studio Dean has really, really bad days, and I feel like they give no budget to, like, anything that's yaoi, so that's probably why.
Okay, yeah, probably, because I hear a lot of people complaining about, well, not about the show that we're going to be talking about, but a lot of Studio Dean stuff, because they used to be, like, one of the top, like, best-looking shows that you could, like, best-looking anime that you could see on TV, and now it's kind of like really gone downhill.
Yeah. I think they did a decent job with the one we're going to talk about later.
Yeah.
But hopefully this is a turning point for them. Hopefully maybe that this is a sign that they're turning over a new leaf. New year, new me, right?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. So yes, when we come back after our first musical break, we will be talking about this one certain anime. So right now, we're going to jump into this week's playlist. Remember, as always, if you like what you hear and want to support these artists, you can grab just about all these records on cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record store. And today we're going to start the show off with a track from Miyavi, who gained some international fame thanks to his work on the Angelina Jolie film Unbroken. Did you happen to see Unbroken?
I did not.
It's a good movie, but Miyavi is amazing. He plays sort of plays like the main like person who watches over like the World War II prisoners that are in Japan. It's really good. He does an amazing job in this film.
Well, maybe I'll see it.
Hopefully. Yeah, totally see it. Anyways, from last year's The Others album, this is Come Alive.
Got me obsessed. Let me
From their 2003 album, Nice, that was Puffy AmiYumi with Invisible Tomorrow. With a couple new singles released last year, we can only hope that a new album from the J-pop duo is on the horizon. So as we mentioned, we are going to be talking about a new anime series from Studio Deen, Konosuba, God's Blessing on This Wonderful World, which is a show you can currently catch on Crunchyroll. Konosuba follows a boy named Kazuma, who is sent to a fantasy world following his death, forming a party with a goddess named Aqua, a magician named Megumin, and a crusader named Darkness to fight against the Devil King and his minions. And that's basically the little bit of the short premise, but there is so much more that goes on in this show, because from first perspective, you'd think this kind of sounds a little bit almost like, is it wrong to try to pick up girls in the dungeon?
A little bit. It definitely has that whole, you know, gamer trapped in a game world type feel to it, almost. Mm-hmm. So, a little bit. I didn't really watch that show, How to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon, because I was like, ew.
Why ew?
Because it's just, it wasn't funny to me.
Oh. All right. Fair enough. Now, the show, unlike Don Machi, as some people like to call it, the show emphasizes more on the comedy aspect of living in a Renaissance type of world. Because you have the character of Kazuma, who, he dies because he tries to save this girl who's about to be run over by a truck. And it turns out that's not the case.
Yeah, she was not going to be run over by a tractor, but he dies of shock.
Yeah. It's like, it's a good thing I rescued her. My death was not in vain. Yeah, it would have
about
missed
that.
Her. You mean the truck would have hit her? Yeah, it was a tractor. You mean a tractor hit me? No, it did not hit you. You kind of went into shock. I went into shock, and you peed your pants. And then you had a heart attack and died as the doctors and your parents were laughing.
Yeah, really, really rude way to just wake up after dying. Like, everyone's laughing at the fact you died. That would be traumatizing.
Now, when he dies, like, Aqua tells Kazuma that he can either go to heaven, which, according to her, is just really, really, really boring. Or you could go to an RPG-like world where he must defeat the Devil King, which he can choose whatever he wants to take with him. And because of that, after all that making fun of, Kazuma goes, okay, I'm taking you.
Yeah, like, bitch, you're gonna talk mean about me? Then I'll drag you along with me.
I love, like, how she's just panicking like crazy when it happens to her. It's like, oh my god, what just happened? Oh no!
Get hit.
Now, when they do enter the world, they find where they have to go to go on the quest and find themselves the classes. Kazuma is chosen as the adventurer, which turns out is the lowest class, whereas Aqua is an arc priest because she's a goddess and she has super awesome powers.
Yes. Super, super awesome powers, aka really, really bad powers that she uses for party tricks.
Yep. Which, by the way, the thing that she does with the water and the fans and stuff, I've actually seen that done in person many years ago in Japan. It's actually pretty cool. I still try to figure out how the hell they do that. And one of the first...
Magic, man.
Yeah. Yes, it is magic. Now, one of the first quests they go on is the fighting the giant frogs. And Kazuma's running around like crazy, being chased, being like freaking out. Oh, they're gonna eat me. And Aqua's standing there laughing, like, ha 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 ha, come on, beg me to help you. Come on, I wanna see you get down on your knees. And then all of a sudden, just the big giant frog comes and eats her.
See, the thing is that, like, that was kind of funny to me, but I wanted it to be funnier.
That's why I thought it was a lot funnier the second time around when she charges at the frog, hits her, and just does nothing. And she goes, hey, you look a lot cuter more up than...
I didn't think the joke was going to be funny until she did the whole, oh, you frogs are kind of cute. And, like, her face did that whole, like, chibi style. Then the joke was funny to me because it was just, like, so perfect. But until that, I was like, okay, and then she's going to fail when she hits the thing and then it's going to eat her and blah. But then that little bit right there. See, that's the thing. It's about the show. Half the jokes are really awesome to me, and half of them are just like, eh.
Like, they could have maybe, like, upped it just a little bit?
Yeah, just a little bit. I feel like they're definitely trying. I don't want to say that it's bad, because they're definitely trying. Mm. It's just, but they're trying so many different things, hoping that something sticks, you know? And then half of them do, and half of them don't.
A little bit of a difference of an opinion, because I do think a lot of the show is really funny, because I find myself laughing loudly at most of what happens on screen. Like when they introduce the character Megumin and she goes on the quest with him, and it's like she does this super explosion attack, and that's the only attack she will ever want to do.
Well, I guess that is a different opinion, and that's fine, we're allowed to have different opinions, obviously.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, that's one of the jokes that really fell flat for me. I was just like, eh. Yeah, that's her shtick, and she can only do it once per day, so they're kind of forming, like, a crappy band of different adventurers. who, like, can't together, even though they all have different aspects, can't really do much.
What do you think of Darkness so far?
Darkness is the one who, of all of the girls so far, most of her jokes are sticking for me. Like, the majority of them. Mm-hmm. Which I obviously like, because it's better when the jokes stick than when they don't. I think it's kind of funny that, you know, she's that supreme masochist. I don't know why, I just find that really funny, especially in that episode where the Doulahan came.
Yes!
That to me, I was dying. I was dying. It was so good. And he's got the little sweat drop going down his severed head because he's like, I don't wanna do any of these things she's talking about. That to me was just flipping hysterical.
Yes, and I do want to bring up the Doulahan because in the episode, I believe it's episode 4 where the Doulahan appears. Because Kazuma makes a shit ton of money in the previous episode after beating up some wild cabbage. You should probably watch the episode to understand what the hell that's all about.
That was a really funny part. I love that so much.
Yeah. Kazuma decides to help Mega Man with her explosion sort of technique. And it looks like they do it for over a year. And it's them going to this abandoned castle and just once a day going to it and Mega Man doing the explosion technique over and over again for 4 seasons. Well, one day, the Doulahan shows up, and he's like, "Who keeps blowing up my castle?" Doulahan tries to curse Mega Man, only for it to hit Darkness. And that's when Darkness starts doing the, oh, you're gonna take me to your castle, and you're gonna do these nasty, dirty things to me. Oh, but if it's what I have to do, it's what I have to do. I kinda don't want to do that.
I don't. This chick is crazy, man. I need to get out of here. I need to leave. Like, holy crap, she is on another level.
I love the humor in the show because as I mentioned to you before you watched it, walk into it with the same way that you would with a British comedy, because all these characters in some way, shape, or form are kind of assholish, and it's funny to see these assholes get their comeuppance in many different ways and forms.
Well, I think I understand. That's the thing, is that you told me that, and I watched the show, and I didn't quite get it. I didn't quite make that leap to British sitcom. The only time I did was with the main character. I forget his name.
Kazuma.
That made sense, because he is an asshole, and that was, like, the redeeming factor, because the first, like, 4 minutes of the show, I was like, this is not fun, I don't like this. And then he turned into an asshole, and was like, you're coming with me, ha 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 ha. And I started laughing, and I'm like, okay, maybe this show's alright. Because before, I was just, like, totally, utterly uninterested. And that really hooked me.
Because
so
when
I get where it is with that.
Yeah, because when I was starting to watch it, I was starting to get, like, a sort of feel of, like Kazuma being sort of like Hugh Laurie, like in Blackadder, or when he's teaming up with Stephen Fry in like a bit of Fry and Laurie, some of his more jerky characters that he plays in the past. Not like his Dr. House character, that's a totally different sort of asshole, but more of the comedic, real sort of asshole sort of person that you want to see get what he deserves.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing, is that it really works for him, because he is that snarky asshole. The girls, I mean, yes, they do asshole things, but they aren't assholes, and it's not funny, because to me, especially Aqua, who I find, like, the most annoying, she's just whiny. She's just like a whiny brat, like, oh, give me money, I'm broke, man.
Well, what about when she had to do the purification over at the lake?
I'm like, I don't. I was like, ha, you deserve that, because you're annoying.
Purification!
I want to get out of this freaking cage because I'm gonna get eaten by alligators.
Just say the word, and we'll pull you out.
And then she does, because she really needs money because she's broke. and just, you know, the way that she just seems so wasteful, like, you know, using all of her powers to learn party tricks instead of like actual, you know, good abilities. I was like, why should I care about you? Oh, that's right, I don't. I care about Kazuma because he's funny, and I actually want to see him, like, be able to be stronger, because he's stuck with these girls who are absolutely useless. Just useless.
Yeah, they are pretty useless. What did you think of?
I feel bad for him. Yeah. I almost feel bad for him.
What do you think of when he introduced another character, the character Kyoka, the noble warrior?
Kyoya?
I thought it was Kyoka.
I only remember that one because it's just like my favorite character from Orin High School Host Club, Kyoya.
Oh yeah, yeah. In this one particular scene, that Kyoya shows up and discovers Aqua in a cage, and he winds up getting his ass handed to him by Kaza because of his new steel technique.
And that was freaking amazing, because I was like, fuck yes, something's finally going Kazuma's way, like he finally does something right, and I laughed so hard at that entire scene, especially when he comes back later, and he's asking Kazuma, where's my sword? And he's like, I just hold up the bag of money, I sold it!
That was like the quickest fight in anime history.
It all happened so fast.
What did you think of, like, when Kazuma
was... really quick.
Yeah, what did you think of when Kazuma learned the steel technique from that thief?
Okay, this was another time when I thought the jokes really fell flat, because I was like, oh, come on. I know it's, like, one guy, and he's in, like, with three girls, and it's kind of like a harem, but not really, because none of them are, like, into him. But it was just a joke that I've seen before done so much better. Like, oh, stole your pants, now I got your panties, and now you're, like, all embarrassed. I've seen that joke so many times. It's like, you're not giving me anything new.
I can kind of understand that, but from my perspective, like, when I saw this happen, like, usually when this occurs in anime, the guy who does the technique, he starts to feel really embarrassed that he did it. It's like, oh, no, it's not what you think. And then the guy gets beat up. What I like this time around, he was like, yes, I have the ultimate technique. I can steal your underwear. Oh, how much do you want these for? Is it everything that you have in your purse? Come on. What can I get for your panties?
I mean, sorta, but it just fell flat for me overall, that particular joke.
Okay, fair enough. Like I said, I'm not gonna be the dude like, okay, why don't you think this is funny? It's a difference of opinion. Some things that are funny to others will not be funny to other people.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Now, we did mention that this was a Studio Dean show, and this is definitely one of their more better-looking programs. Granted, there are some little hindrances in their animation technique, but I feel like it's intentional when they do it here.
Yeah, I definitely feel that. I do like the animation a whole lot. Like, I think this... I wouldn't think of this as a Studio Dean show, like, in my head. It does not equate to Studio Dean's usual level of quality. So I was completely blown away. I think the magic scenes look really awesome. I think it's pretty smooth and it's funny, so I'm enjoying Studio Dean animating this. I think that they're doing really good work.
Absolutely, I couldn't agree more. And I'm kind of hoping that we're going to see more of what's going to occur, because the light novels have technically ended, so I'm wondering if they're going to be able to tell the entire story within its 11-episode run, or if they're going to stop at a certain point and cross their fingers that maybe might get a second season or something along the lines of that. Because that's what I didn't understand, is that they're only doing 11 episodes of this series. It's not 12, it's not 13.
Yeah, I personally, knowing, like, just seeing anime, obviously, in general, I don't think they'll be able to wrap this up in 13 episodes, and 11 episodes, blah, get my number right. There's no way they can do it. There's no flipping way. It's just, they still haven't even left. They're at the town that is the farthest away from the king.
That is true.
So if you think about that, they gotta, like, travel at least to some other cities once they get more levels. And right now, I think they're just gonna stick with just do the characters doing funny stuff in the town that they're already in, because it's a pretty comfortable area right now for them. They'll probably end it on some pseudo, oh, we're gonna, in the future, we're gonna get there. Like, think back to No Game, No Life.
Yeah.
Like, there was how many kingdoms that they had to conquer or something like that? Or, like, go and play
games?
There
was a lot of kingdoms. Because it's, like, because it's... there's, like, 15 kingdoms because they have the chess pieces and such.
Exactly. There's no way. Like, No Game, No Life lasted about the same length of time. And I think they maybe got to, like, three?
Yeah, because it ends at the end of the third volume of the light novel.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just thinking about, like, pacing and how light novels work, and I'm like, there's no way. It's going to be an ending that sort of just goes, oh, for the future, we will do this, but not right now, because we don't have enough episodes. I think it has a decent chance to getting a second season, though.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. But that's what kind of, like, irks me, like, when you see a light novel series get itself, you know, get itself an anime series, and it stops at a certain point, and they never finish the rest of it. Like, are they, like, trying to make people go out and buy the rest of the light novels? Is this basically a 13-episode commercial for the light novel series?
Well, yes. Let's be honest, that's like most anime that, you know, oh, we didn't finish. They're all just basically, I know that the studio obviously would want them to succeed, because if they succeed, then they get more money. But it's essentially a commercial.
Yeah, it kind of is. So what are your final thoughts on Konosuba? Do you think you're going to still keep watching it, or are you going to put it on the back burner?
I'm not watching that much this season, so I'll probably keep watching it, because it's entertaining enough. I really like Kazuma. Like, he's just really fucking funny. and I'm hoping that we'll get to see, because I really liked, that moment where he was with Megumin and she would just blow up the castle day after day after day. I really liked that. I thought it was sweet. It was like, oh, they're actually like spending time together and like becoming more friendly and like just like, you know, general character building stuff. So I'm hoping we'll see more of that. Obviously the humor can stay if it's good. but I really liked that theme, because it was just such a good character interaction and like they're being friends, and it just, I want more of that from the show.
And this year so far, for me, Konosuba, it's been like the show I've been looking forward to each week. It's very funny, in my opinion. And I like the characters. I'm knocking on wood that maybe someone out there like licenses the light novels so they could bring them over here, because technically the series is finished, so they could bring it over here no problem. And I'm actually still surprised that nobody has licensed the show yet. Like, Funimation hasn't, Sentai Filmworks hasn't, Aniplex of America hasn't. Maybe that's probably a good thing, because then they would probably charge you $400 for 12 episodes, or 11 episodes as it is.
They're holding my anime hostage.
Yeah. So for our listeners, if you are interested in checking out Konosuba, God's blessing on this wonderful world, you can check it out on Crunchyroll at this very moment. You could watch it whenever you're finished watching this episode, or you could pause right now and watch it. We won't know the difference.
Yeah, and if you need a link for Crunchyroll and you want to help support me, you can go to crunchyroll.com/42believer, and you will get a link to a free 14-day trial to Crunchyroll's premium services, so you can watch in 1080p without ads, like it's meant to be watched.
Exactly. Then it's always the best way to watch Crunchyroll.
1080p or bust.
Yep. All right, when we come back, we're going to be talking about an anime that Sarah suggested that I watch. We won't go into it right now, but we'll talk about it after the break. So right now, we've got a new single from our pals in the UK, Abel Raise the Cane, who will be releasing this new melody officially on March 25th. This is Million Dollar Night. Skyline, like I've never even seen before.
was so strange. It's drifting away. Is this a game we play? Tell me now. In love. Do you believe in love? If you believe I'm good, tell me now. 'Cause time slips through my hands.
From their 2004 debut album, Lost Worlds Anthology, that was Straightener with Mad Pianist. And we're back here with 42 Believer. And now she has me checking out an anime series called Secco Boys. And what the fuck did you make me watch?
Only the best idol anime of all time.
You know what? You're the one that recommended it to me. So tell our listeners what Secco Boys is about.
Okay, so Secco Boys is an anime where it's an idol anime. It really is an idol anime, but the idols are Greek busts. Statues of Greek busts. So you've got Medici, you've got Mars, St. Giorgio, and Hermes. They are just from you know, the busts, the statue busts are idols. They talk, they perform, they do those really, really cheesy idol lines about I am passionate lover kind of thing. And you follow their manager, Ishii, as she tries to make them popular, because they're not popular, because they're frickin' statues. And the episodes are about 8 minutes long, real easy to consume, because it's not a full series, but it's just a little bit strange, and that's why I watched it, and that's why I made Evan watch it, instead of Prince of Stride, because it's just, it's so much fun.
Is there such a thing as Jitsum bust fetish?
I would not be surprised, because Japan makes everything into a fetish.
Now, what about these four Greek-Roman gods? What made them? What do you think it was that made them choose them to be like the idols in the show? Like, was it about Medici and Hermes and Mars and Saint Giorgio that made them, you know, choose them? Okay, these are the people from past, like, mythology and such that should be part of this pop idol group.
Well, I honestly don't know, because it's weird, because, like, I some of them obviously you recognize, like, Mars, you know, the god of war, and then Hermes, you know, you recognize those, but,
yeah.
Like, I don't know who Saint Giorgio is. I didn't know until I looked it up, because I'd never heard of it before, so I really don't know. Japan's a weird place, man.
Yeah, because it has me asking various questions while I'm watching this show. Like, how do they move around on their own without legs and torso? How could they eat or drink coffee without having arms? How could Mars have any kids from a past relationship if he doesn't have a penis? Why doesn't Hermes have his full body all the time like he does when he's in the midst of scamming a bunch of people? And how stoned were the creators of this anime when they came up with it?
I hope very stoned, because that would make it even funnier. There's no reason for this anime to exist, and I think that's why I like it so much. Like, no one asked for this show.
I don't think it even existed. Like, it wasn't a manga, light novel, it wasn't a novel series, it wasn't a webcomic. This just, like, someone at some anime company was like, you know what, man, you would be totally funny if we do a pop idol anime and get this, man. Are you stoned? Yes! They're all BM stone. They're busts. They're, like, totally busts, man.
It's like, hey, bro. You know what's awesome? Frickin' busts of Greek gods. You know what they should do? They should be idols. They should be idols. Dude, bro. Blowing my mind, man. That is exactly what went down in that department. That's the thing, is that it's such a crazy concept, but it, and as I said, no one asked for it, but I want it now that I know it exists.
They had to kind of feel, you really, really had to feel bad for, what's her name, the main girl in the show, their new manager.
Ishii. Yeah.
Because I liked how she comes to the job. Well, I was an art student, but all they had me do was do statues and structures. And I move up in class, and I'm still drawing statues and structures. More statues! But now I want to deal with real people. Here are your idols. They're fucking statues!
Exactly. It was just like, oh, I know, because I know you didn't really, because when I said you watched Echo Boy, you didn't like have any reaction, so I'm like, he doesn't know what it's about. Oh my god, this is gonna be brilliant. But I had seen some things, some screenshots on Tumblr and stuff like that, so I knew it was about statues, so they're building that up, and I'm like, this is gonna be fucking great. This is gonna be so good. I'm so excited.
Now, what's been your favorite episode so far, Seko Boys? Because I liked the episode where they're all on the talk show and like Mars is like sweating his he doesn't have balls because he's just a torso and because he doesn't have a torso, he's up above. But he's like, this woman keeps asking him questions about his personal life, and he's like, I'll pay child support. I'll totally do that. Yes.
I like that episode too. I think probably my favorite one is the one with like Giorgioing. Say Giorgio. Oh, I'm Giorgioing. Oh, it's a creepy cute fan club. And I'm like, okay, this is good. I like this.
I'll be honest. I don't know if I'm gonna continue. I did kind of enjoy the show. I think I might continue it. What I liked about them is like they got some really talented people to play the Giorgio, Mars, Hermes, and Medici. Because you have Daisuke Ono, who played Sebastian on Black Butler as Mars. You had Tomokazu Sugita, who played Gintoki in Gintama, and Kyon in Haruhi Suzumiya as Saint Giorgio. You have Jun Fukuyama, the voice of Lelouch on Kill Geass as Hermes. And then you have Shinosuke Tachibana, who I actually had to do a little bit of research on him. He was in the Kaku City Actors, which was a great show. And I have a feeling, have you ever watched Kamisama Kiss?
Yes.
So you're familiar with his voice.
I'm very familiar, yes. I like Kamisama Kiss a lot. It's really cute. And I like the Japanese version better than the English version, because as much as I like J. Michael Tatum, I prefer the Japanese Tomoe.
Well, yeah, I haven't watched it, so I can't comment on it. It's weird. Like, whenever I see J. Michael Tatum in as like the main role, like for example in Spice and Wolf, it's one of those shows where I could easily switch back and forth between the two because I like him. Because I think Tatum's really that good. He can actually make roles, have like the role that was originally played as someone from Japan, and he can take it and kind of make it his own. I know you may disagree with me on one of your all-time favorite swimming anime shows that you really like.
No, he does good in Free. He's one of the people who's like accurately cast. Everyone else I hate.
Okay.
Freaking Todd Haberkorn as Haru. What the fuck were you smoking, Funimation?
Are you gonna say
still
that?
Still not over that.
Are you gonna say that to his face in Anime Boston?
Oh God, no! I'm not that much of a dick.
I had to ask.
I, you know, there is one thing I do want to say to Greg Ayers' face, though. I want to say, what the fuck happened with Dramatical Murder? Have you listened to the Dramatical Murder dub?
No, I haven't.
It is such shit. It sounds like an early 2000s OVA dub. That is how bad it is. And I'm like, Greg Ayers, you directed this. Why? Like, look me in the eye and tell me you're proud of this show. You can't do it, right? Because it's so bad. I know you can't. Don't lie to me, Greg Ayers. What happened? I need to know.
I don't think I could be in the same room if you did that. I think I'd be, like, one of those people who was, like, awkwardly leaving. I'd probably, like, just crawl under the crack of a door to get out of that conversation.
Well, see, like, I wouldn't be mean about it. I'd just be like, okay, Greg Ayers, level with me. What happened with Dramatic Murder? Like, we both know that that was not good. Okay, like just be real with me here. What happened? but we're getting off topic. We need to get back to Seko Boys.
Okay, yes. Let's get back to Seko Boys. So I think I'll continue watching the show, but level with me, Sarah. Like, what is it that like really, really draws you in into Seko Boys besides just the concept of it?
The concept is everything about this show. The concept is everything. Like, I think some of the humor is really funny because they are like just freaking statues. So there's like the scene when they're in the cafe and you see like Hermes eating, and well, you don't see him eating, but like as the scene goes on, he has like more and more whipped cream on his face.
I was gonna bring that up. It's like, how is he doing this? This makes no sense whatsoever.
It's not supposed to make sense. They're fucking statues that can talk. You need to suspend your reality. But
I try to. You know me. I try so hard to suspend my reality when it comes to anime, but this is like one of those times where I'm watching and it's like, what?
No, but it's so funny because he gets more and more cream on his face, and then you just see like a napkin like fall, and then it pans up to his face, and it's like all clean, and I'm like, this is just so funny. But no, it's really the concept about like how many times in your life can you say you watched an idol anime where the idols were Greek statues? Like that's just. That I just like being able to say that. And it's actually funny, and it's pretty decently animated, and it's only 8 minutes long, so what really am I wasting, right?
Right. Because you had me marathon through all the episodes, and it took me just under 40 minutes to watch all, I want to say, 6 episodes that have already aired so far?
I think 6. But man, it's really easy to marathon, but
it
yeah,
is very
it's
easy
just,
to marathon. It is very weird, so... It's one of those shows where, listeners, if you want to check it out, yes, it's on Crunchyroll as well. You can do the whole Crunchyroll / for only 2 believers, so you can get the whole 14 free days. Just be warned, this show is very, very, very weird.
Yep, and that's why it's awesome.
Oh, dear. Well, I do pretty... What is the other... Prince of Stride, what would you have put me through if I had watched that?
Princess Stride is like a track anime, like track / parkour, really. At least the first episode, which is, you know, just them running, and it's a school that hasn't competed in a while, and the new characters come in, and they're gonna make the Stride Club gonna be awesome. That's basically it. It's just your standard sports anime.
So it's Haikyuu, but with running.
Haikyuu, but with running, yeah.
Okay.
Not as funny as Haikyuu, because Haikyuu is hilarious.
No, yeah, Haikyuu is great. Did you, with the most recent episode, it's building up to that rematch from last season.
Oh, I'm so excited! Oh, I was just really excited about this recent episode of Haikyuu, which is something that we're also watching this season.
Yes.
One of the only shows I'm watching this season, really, religiously. Date Tech is like just they're a team that I love so much. It's specifically Aone because of that one episode in season 1 where episode 17 where he goes up against Hinata, and I fucking love it so much. And there's that scene earlier in a few episodes ago where one of his teammates, Aone's teammates, criticized Hinata for whatever reason, and Aone just looks at him angrily because Aone has such respect for Hinata as a volleyball player and really wants to have a rematch with him, and it just makes me so happy, and he's like just such a big baby and I love him. Sorry, I went on a bit of a hike.
No, it's there. Okay, it's okay, because that way we walked away from Seko Boys, which, yes, you... I'm not bashing your liking this. I am. I think I'm still going to continue watching it, but it's so weird, even from my standards.
It is weird. I'm not saying it's not weird, because it's just fucking strange, man. But that's what's awesome about it.
Oh boy. Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a bit of a break, but when we come back, I don't know what's going to happen in the next segment. We'll find out soon enough. But anyways, coming up, we've got the Goju Kaitens, who are releasing a special vinyl single next month called Vinyl Change the World from their 2009 album, Goju Kaitens no Bikuru. This is Uchitsu no Otoko.
Oh,
Duke Spirit with Send a Little Love Token. That one's from their 2008 album, Neptune. This year, the band is returning after a 3-year hiatus with a new album called Kin, due out anytime soon. So, before we go, Sarah had brought up this whole recent poll that happened in Japan where Japanese fans name their anime ideal spouses. Now, you got characters on here like Minamike's Haruka Minami, Keon's Ui Hirasawa, and under the female ones, number one is Nisekoi's Kosake. Whereas, no surprise under the male characters, you've got Haikyu and Utano Princess Sama, Ace of Diamond, Kuroko's Basketball, all these different sports animes, and yes, even Free as well.
This is sports anime are super popular, man.
So, what was the question you wanted to ask me about this whole poll?
Who is your ideal anime spouse? It is, after all, the day we're recording, technically Valentine's Day.
Yes, it is Valentine's Day, and this is a good question. My ideal anime spouse, because I like... Because I really need to think about this. Now, we also have to... say that when we think of the anime spouse, we have to say that we have to have them age at the certain legal age of sorts, correct?
I think so, yeah. Definitely like 18 at least.
Okay. So if that was the case, I'm gonna say Hinagiku from Hayate the Combat Butler. She's the, I don't know if you've ever watched Hayate before, but in the show, she's like the student council president. She's strong. She's independent. She's very intelligent. She's very pretty. But she, you know, she has her quirks that are pretty funny. Like student council's, like, headquarters is all the way on the top, like, of, like, the school building, which is, like, a few stories up, and she's, like, totally afraid of heights, so she never looks out in the balcony like everybody else does.
Mm-hmm.
In real life, I like a girl who has a mixture of, like, beauty, brains, and personality, and I think the character of Hinagiku, in a fictitious way, has a good mixture of what I call the BBP, the beauty, brains, and personality.
That's fair. You gotta have an equal balance of both, right?
Or like a triple balance of whatever you
three.
Want to call it.
A yeah. Triple balance of three.
So, you asked me that question. What's your ideal spouse?
I'm gonna have to go with Lady Oscar from Rose of Versailles, because I fucking love Lady Oscar. She is dashing. She's strong. She's very intelligent. Like, she knows her shit. And I fucking love how gallant she is. And I'll admit it. Yeah, woman, I don't care. I would bang. She is so amazing. And I think Rose of Versailles is such a tragic anime. I'd like to be like, come out of the tragic anime, have some happiness. Be my wife.
That's a very old series that you're choosing from.
It is a very old series, but Rose of Versailles is just so important to me. I watched it last year when I was up in Maine, and I just marathoned it in a few days. 40 episodes long, so it's decently, you know, long. It's not just like 26 episodes, and it's not like 100 episodes, but it took a while to get through, and some episodes are slower than others. But regardless, even though the animation is older, I just really admired Oscar's spirit and the way she would use her wits to work through situations. So I just feel like I would have a very successful marriage. You know, like there would be obviously you have fights in any marriage, but it would just be resolved really easily because she's so awesome and smart.
Mm. Okay, I guess I can understand your pick for that one.
I know that is an old one. It's not like, ooh, like, oh yeah, some new anime, blood. I pick Warwick from Gangsta because he's hot. But I am finding more and more as I continue my love of anime that I have such an appreciation for older anime that I didn't realize I had. Because before, when I first, in my weeaboo days, back then, you know, I really, really, like, I wouldn't watch anime unless they were dubbed. I didn't like older anime and, like, all these things, and I was so specific, and I watched anime on those terrible streaming websites and really crappy quality, and I'm like, ooh, cringe.
Their mouths aren't flapping the right ways with the syllables.
Yeah. It's part of the reason why I have such a love-hate relationship with Black Butler. I feel like if I had watched Black Butler after I got out of my weeaboo phase, I wouldn't hate it and love it as much as I do. But I watched it when I was a weeaboo, so I always have that, like, association with it.
I thought they did a great job with the dub for Black Butler.
No, but just the show in general is a very, like... It attracts a lot of weeaboos, especially female weeaboos.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
So I just have that love-hate relationship with it. I loved the dub, and I still do like the dub for the most part, although now I, like, can't stand Monica Rial as the maid, but...
Oh, I love Monica Rial as the maid. I thought she was really funny.
Oh, her accent's just so bad. It's a bad accent.
She's the Cockney one, right?
Yeah, but Cockney people don't sound like that.
I liked it. I thought it was funny.
It's okay if you like it.
It reminded me so much of the character of the Hitcher from the Mighty Boosh.
I don't think I've seen that.
You still have not watched the Mighty Boosh. Oh my god. I told you about that show four years ago.
You haven't watched Hunter x Hunter.
Oh yes, yeah, I still have not watched that, even though it's on Netflix now and all these other places too.
Yes.
Alright, fair enough. So, I think we are running out of time right now, but Sarah, thank you again so much for joining me here on No Borders, No Race, as always.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. I really, really have fun when I'm here, so anytime you want me back.
So, why don't you tell our listeners where they can check out all your stuff?
Well, as my name is Sarah, yes, but I go by 42 Believer everywhere. So Twitter, 42 Believer. Facebook is 42's Anime Reviews, technically. It's the one place I'm like, I go by 42 Believer everywhere. And then I name Facebook as my second thing where I don't go by 42 Believer. I'm such an idiot. Tumblr is at 42believer.tumblr.com. And you can find me, obviously, on YouTube. I am 42 Believer there. I'm 42 Believer everywhere except Facebook.
Okay. So for our listeners, as always, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bash Brigade, you can find us at www.bbcrew.com. If you have any questions, comments, song requests, if you're in a band and want to be featured on the show, or if you have any questions for our friend Sawa Sensei, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbashbrigade.com. You can find me on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com, on Twitter at king_baby_duck, and on Anime Amino at KingBabyDuckESH. You can like us on Facebook.com/BostonBashBrigade and Facebook.com/LandOfEsh. And for all the other websites under the Land of Esh, please be sure to visit The Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, Smash Rook, The Structure Network, and Nerd Crave. So let me ask Sarah, what's your next convention?
My next convention is Anime Boston.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. We're going to have so much fun there. It's going to be so cool.
Going to be hella turnt.
Yes, and thank you for teaching me that phrase.
I was like, oh crap, someone just asked me what turnt means. I'm going to look up Urban Dictionary.
So yes, very much looking forward to Anime Boston this year. Now, this episode, we are going to end things with a song from Flo's new album, Number 10. And yes, this is their 10th album. This particular song also served as one of the themes for the recent season of Da-da-da-da, which is a light novel series that they actually animate the whole thing, which is nice. Unlike most series that stop.
So surprising.
Yes. So, here now are Flo with Steppin' Out. And until next time, this is King Baby Duck.
And this is 42 Believer.
Reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard. But it sure helps. I know you still want to.
I'm trying.
Catch you up, 改札に吸い込まれて、 はっ たぜ。
guys. This is Evan Borgo from the Electric Sisterhood and host of the No Borders, No Race podcast. What you hear each week on our show is but a mere taste of what you can expect from these talented artists from Japan, America, Europe, and the rest of the world. So if you enjoyed something from this week's selections, go to cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, or your local record store to help give these artists your support. We always give our readers and listeners the links to the albums from the respective songs we've spun. So if something resonated with you, give that album name a click and get that record in your possession. Who knows? That one album purchase may help to bring your favorite J-pop artist one step closer to your town. So until next time, keep your volume dimed out and remember to spread the Japanese music revolution wherever your roads take you.